Well, hey, let's do it together. That's right. Oh. He's worthy of this. Go ahead. His love and His protection, His salvation. God, You're worthy of this. You're worthy of this. You're worthy of this. We take these moments, we dedicate them to You, Lord, because of how great You are, how holy You are. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Anything that we can use, we want to use that to praise and glorify the Lord. And we're doing that today. And thankfully, He hears it and He receives it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. I have felt a pressing and insistence for the past 2 weeks to preach the themes that this message contains. Our families are so important. They're all important. And there are enemies working and conniving and fighting to negatively affect and, if possible, ultimately destroy individuals and families. Enemies want to destroy relationships in your family and to destroy our relationships with God. And just to give you a little context, when I use the term family today, I will be making and preaching scriptures and instructions about, I'll talk to parents a little bit and children and individuals, but this, when I talk about family today, I'm talking about us individually. Whether it's parents and children, a unit that where there's parents and children living in the same household, or some it is husband and wife in a household alone, or maybe there's a sole person. You are the sole person in your household. Talking about siblings and extended family members that may be living together. So it's a wide definition of family, and it's family members, but also the way families are going to be saved is for individuals to be saved. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark, and he had the same goal that this message contains today, to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. That doesn't mean he spoke against people, but his stand was in such a contrast to others around him, and that's what condemned the world. And he became an heir of the righteousness which can only come by faith. And so I want you to consider this morning what it takes in seeing our families saved. Our theme for this year is to have 2020 vision. So what will it take to have the vision or to see our families saved? And God answers those questions for us through His Word. And that's the Word I want to preach today. I want us to pray right now, and in this opening prayer, yes, I wouldn't mind if you prayed for I need God's help today. I just told him again, I need his help. But would you fold into your prayer right now for family members? Also pray for your family. Let's pray. Now, Lord, I'm thankful for your care and for your concern. And it's your order that allows us to have a family. You ordained a family before there was any other institution. And you have set us in the families that you have by your design. It's your design, God. I thank you, Lord, for your concern and your compassion for and your interest in and the high value you put on our lives personally and then as families. I thank you for that. Your word proves that. Your spirit proves that. The spirit that's in this service is proving that also, God. And I'm asking for your blessing to our families. Bless every member of my family today. Immediate and extended, I pray for your blessing, your spirit, your anointing, and your help and your protection in every way, emotionally and spiritually and physically. Let these blessings flow. Let it flow, Lord. I thank you. Thank you that you're our Father. Thank you for the blessings of family. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This verse is very clear that Noah prepared the ark for the saving of his family. That was his focus. It wasn't just to build a boat. It wasn't to build something different. Yay, very different. It wasn't to build something big. Last August, my wife and I visited the Ark Encounter, and it's built to actual specifications and guidelines as prescribed in the scripture, and when you see that monstrosity. But it wasn't just to build something big. I doubt if Noah comprehended how he would go down in history. Noah was on a mission. It was an everyday mission. My family is going to be saved. I'm going to be saved, and my family is going to be saved. God, would you help us to get on a mission that our family will be saved? The verse starts with two words. By faith, Noah did what he did. Noah had faith. Folks, it will be important for you to have faith in what is being preached this morning and other times when you read or hear other messages. But it all started that Noah had faith in what God was telling him, in how God told him to build it. Now, he did not have valid, concrete, world-authenticated evidence there was going to be rain. There had been no rain previous. There had not been a disastrous flood. The ark was so unusual and one of a kind. All he had as evidence was a word from God. All he had. But he took that word by faith. This wasn't the way the world or the majority was saying at that time, nor is it in this time, the way we should handle or discipline or set boundaries or guide our lives or our families. It's not the way the world is saying to do it. But we're not going by what is popular or by what is accepted by culture and society. We hope to be accepted. But we are ordering and praying for and on a mission to save our family by way of faith in God and faith in what He has promised us, how He will protect our family, how He will guide and preserve our family in holiness, and how we can make ourselves ready. And when He said, I'm coming back, He did mean that He's coming back, and the Lord is coming back. There is the coming of the Lord. Just because others may lack faith or lack fear or respect or obedience, and they prioritize the temporal and life priorities above godly scriptural priorities, that doesn't mean that you will do the same. Like Noah, we may not have a lot of what society would say is culturally accepted or valid evidence is you can do this in your family or you can ask this of your family members. We don't have that evidence, but we do have the evidence of a word from God. By faith, Noah was going to see. Just because others do not set solid and straight biblical guidelines in their life or in their family, that does not exempt anyone, including any of us. What they don't do will not save you or your family. But Scripture and the godly guidelines and holy values that you have now will. Just because other families or parents or kids or individuals is not a valid reason. Just because of what they do or their responses, that is not a valid reason for us to change the dedication points that you have set for your family and yourself. We are using different values and different principles and guidelines. We have a different blueprint. We're building an ark to save our own lives and our family lives. We want to be saved here and enjoy this life in a holy way, and then ultimately enjoy eternal life by way of escaping a dangerous judgment flood. To build the ark to save his family required an all-out commitment. Time, finance, energy, relationships, and reputation. Everything else became secondary to saving his family. Everything else. It became the most important thing to Noah that he would be saved and that his family, and he even preached righteousness according to Scripture. He didn't exempt anybody else, but he was on that mission of salvation and whatever it takes before this judgment. Oh Lord, we want your Spirit to direct us, and then his Spirit can come, but we need to open our hearts to being totally swallowed by this thing of a passion about being ready for the Lord to come so that we can live effectively here and in the future. In life, there are testimonials of all-out commitment. One that has been most striking to me through the years, and I started gathering articles some years ago on Olympic young people who were training or had the desire to go to the Olympics. Several years ago, I clipped out, and it was way back. I don't know how long ago this article was written about Gabrielle or Gabby Douglas, the famed Olympic gymnast, who at 16 years old in the 212 Olympics won 2 gold medals, and then she's won others since. But there was an article about her and her family. And the article asked, how much did it cost? And they listed in this article, for one thing, she started training at the age 6. I'm thankful for our 6-year-olds that are back there, and thankful to the people who are training them. Thank you, Sunday school teachers. Thank you, Children's Church. Really, thank you. You can't start too young. Training them and praying for them and covering them. I told the Sunday school teachers this morning, I've got to work the place where I do pray for our 6 years old, but I've backed that prayer on back into infant stage. In fact, not long ago, I just backed it all the way back to when they're still in their mama's tummy. Because the Lord said, He said, I saw you when you were being formed. At age 6, Gabby starts training. And then they list the cost. If you would join this parents association, the parents join this what's called Gymstrata Parent Association. The fees were $1,200 annually just to belong to that organization. Then you had all the equipment, and they list the different equipment and how much it grips that they had for bar, $63. This was back in that time. Leotards for $174. And all of these things that were required, warm-up jackets and combos that they would use, pants and jackets. And the annual cost of training, a minimum of $20,000 a year. It was an all-out commitment. That's the financial. And then you lay aside the time and then relocation. In fact, that family happened to move from Virginia to Des Moines, Iowa, so they could be with the proper coaches. So they totally uprooted their family. Why? Because we want Gabby to be an Olympian. That was their design and the desire. And so I'm not about to question any parent that makes some kind of commitment to say, my child's going to be saved. I'm having them to the house of God. Or I'm not going to criticize any individual that says, whatever this takes, I'm going to fast these days. I'm going to pray these moments and these hours because there's an all-out commitment like Noah had to make, with everything else becoming secondary. I have seen individuals and families reject job opportunities based on the spiritual impact it would make on their family. Either declining a job because of the negative spiritual impact, declining certain work hours, declining some scholarships and accepting other scholarships to better align with the will of God. At best, prayerfully and with godly counsel and considering a move to another area which called for a change of church. Or the question even, is there a church and is there a strong apostolic church there? That's an all-out commitment. Those are questions worth considering and worth asking. But I just say, and I respect these people who make the commitments they make, and then I also respect the attainments and the accomplishments. Listen, this is her mother's name is Natalie. This is what Gabby's mom said in an interview with a sports department about her daughter and their move to Iowa. It was the worst gut-wrenching decision I have ever made in my entire life. Then I came to a place of resolve. Anytime there's an all-out commitment, it will involve some gut-wrenching decisions. Then I came to a resolve. I said, okay, Natalie, you have this one chance to get it right. You mess this up, and it's not going to come around again. Folks, we have this one chance. This one life to get it right. And if we mess it up, it will not come around again. All out commitment. And there's varying estimations as to how long it took. 40 years, 80 years. When you think he didn't have all the equipment that we have today, to build that monster of a boat. 100 years to construct the ark. You know, I like those little films. They do them for church in a day, and I've seen them for other occasions where they do a time lapse. And that's kind of the way we read building the ark. It's kind of like a time lapse, and all of a sudden there it is. But building the ark wasn't a time lapse project. It was day by day, hammer swing after hammer swing, peg after peg, board after board, more of the pitch that was used, and then more on the brush or whatever they used. And day in and day out, consistency is needed. I just feel to encourage somebody today. That daily prayer that you pray for your family. Saving our family is not a time-lapse project. God is hearing that prayer that you are praying. Nobody else may know it and nobody else may hear it. In fact, I'll just tell you, that's kind of, I think I'm trying to convince myself. I certainly don't have to convince God. But every once in a while I'll stop and I'll just say, I guess it is, the more I think about it, a personal encouragement. God, I'm praying for this little baby that's not born. You hear him. And you're going to do something with it. And whether or not I see it all or I will be able to be aware of all of it, I just say that your prayer and your fasting and the faithfulness that you bring yourself day after day, service after service, coming to the Lord. You know, in fact, if we're going to be an influence for our family, we've got to be saved ourselves. The greatest way to have the greatest impact is to live godly and holy and according to the scriptures and to have repented and be baptized in Jesus' name and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's more than just some kind of a church rule. That's a life experience. It's needed. So I